You know, we're just enjoying that so much, we might just keep on going right through the full hour of the Zen Tech Radio Show, which is what we've got going right now. I'm watching the levels like heck, which tells you it must be the tech show that we have that goes on every fortnight. The hosts for today's show are going to be me, Paul Castro, he, Glenn Farr, and also...
him, Mikhail Graham.
An old friend from way back when, and we're going to do some historical reminiscence type things from the old days of Zen Tech, and also, mainly... the KVMR radio station, it's more than just the 30th anniversary of the radio station. Right actually during the lunch hour, which is what we've got now, is the birth cries of the radio station itself. So we'll have some special guests and some special friends and some special tech.
We sure will.
Yeah, the level of reliability is higher than it used to be, I believe. So we'll see how it goes as the show goes on. That should be good. I'm watching levels, Glenn. Honestly, okay. I am.
We do want to remind people that at some point during the show, we'll be accepting phone calls, and we have our automatic answering machine set up to take your calls now if you want to get ready to call in. 265-9555, 1-800-355-5867. And we have today's community calendar and some underwriters to thank, and then we'll get right into the show. For helping to underwrite the community calendar today, we want to offer thanks out to the Ray Morgan Company, providing networked digital systems for offices. Ray Morgan Company offers local sales and service of Canon copiers, fax machines, and printers with offices in Nevada City, Marysville, Rockland, Stockton, and Chico. 530-478-9298 or raymorgan.com. The first item, Paul.
Built in California, how A.P. Giannini and Bank of America built California and the modern banking industry is the title of this month's presentation of the Nevada County Historical Society. This presentation, given by Charles Attill, will be at 7:30 p.m. in the Madeline Helling Library, and that's it's Thursday here at 7:30 in the Madeline Helling Library community room. And that's in Nevada City. Any questions, please call 470-0482.
The Neighborhood Center of the Arts, a nonprofit center for artists with developmental disabilities, opens their Icons and Legends exhibition with a gallery reception on Thursday from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. The art is inspired by icons and legends of human history, from Byzantine saints to Elvis the King. Call 272-7287 for more information. What is this fascinating little clicking going on in the background? I like it. It's like I'm in a newsroom, sort of.
Okay. What time is that in, Mikhail?
That's from the late 50s, early 60s?
This?
Oh, no, what time you mean? I'm what are you talking about?
The signature.
Yeah,
time
it's
signature.
From the late 50s. I'm sorry, you got me. I'm just listening. It sounds like 3-4, but I wasn't listening real close.
I was told, not that I know, that it's in the same time. It's in the same time signature as Shave and Haircut.
Okay,
which
that
is
sounds
eight.
Good.
7-8.
I'm still... Oh, wait a sec. I believe you're right.
I know I'm right because I read it on Wikipedia. It's Dave Brubeck doing his thing. He always does funky rhythms. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, now that you start counting, it actually does. I wasn't listening.
Very funky. I was drawn to that.
Fiddling with all my
inexorably
tech here.
To that. Yeah, you know, we're still... Oh, it's hot. Like, how do they do that? I just love it and I don't know why. Hey, we got a community calendar card. Should we do that?
Yeah,
oh, it's
got
Glenn.
More.
Yeah.
This week's Grass Valley Thursday Night Marketplace features live music by Great American Taxi, as well as community dining area, festival foods, a farmer's market, and lots of vendors. You can check them out at www.grassvalleyevents.com.
There'll be a garden concert of classical music with wine accompaniment to benefit the Hospitality House, and that's on Friday, beginning at 4:30 p.m. at the Roth Estate Gardens, which is 12282 North Bloomfield Road. Once again, it's 12282 North Bloomfield Road in Nevada City. For more information, please call 265-5403.
And here we are with our KVMR's community calendar lists entertainment, fundraising, and arts events in Western Nevada County. It's heard weekdays at 6:30 a.m., weekends and at 7:30 a.m., and daily at 1 and 5:30 p.m. We have an easy-to-use online submission form at our website, kvmr.org. Please list events or public service announcements 2 or more weeks in advance. That's at kvmr.org.
KVMR FM Nevada City, also serving the Truckee Tahoe Donner area on Translator K286 AM, Truckee 105.1 FM. And we want to thank our underwriter for this hour of programming at KVMR. Ohmsoft Technologies, a regional family-owned internet service provider, started by UCD students in 1997, providing internet services to suit individual needs, committed to customer privacy. More information is at ohmsoft.com. Ohmsoft, the enlightened internet solution.
July the 14th, 1978, the radio station got on the air. That's 30 years ago to more or less this time of day. And it's also commemorating Bastille Day 1790, long before the radio station. Declaration of Independence, if you like, and a revolution by the French. I was going to say, use a derogatory term, but they're the French. They'll always be the French to me. And they were stating their independence from corporate media in the form of Louis XV. So we did the same 40 years ago. They did something like that well over 200 years ago. And we're proud and pleased to do it, right, Mikhail?
We are very proud and pleased to do it. It's been a long haul, and there's a whole lot more fun to come.
I think so. Yeah. We'll have an opportunity today to talk about some of the tech from way back then, I hope, because it was all second-hand analog stuff, probably.
Some of it we will be able to talk about. Some of it we'll have to just imagine it.
Or nightmare it.
Yeah.
And you've got a cool thing in the studio. You brought in your little gizmo, Gaz.
Oh, yeah. We got the iPod Touch in here as well, which we're going to play something a little later when we're talking. We've been talking the last couple of times about the iPhone 3G. And I've got a really fun little video that we're going to listen to, actually, at some point, whenever you're ready, from David Pogue of the New York Times, because it really kind of sums up where the iPhone 3G is.
And are we on the right board here?
Yeah, or if we're ready to go, let me get it queued up. I've actually got to just grab it here, since we're jumping right on this, but I'm all set and ready. I've got the musical version, which was a year ago, and this is right up Glenn's alley. It's a beautiful, beautiful musical of wanting to get the iPhone. I don't know if you want to hear that.
Okay.
It's about three minutes long.
I'll go for it.
Sure.
Because it might make, there's a reminiscence of it in the 3G, but this is the original iPhone musical that David Pogue did. Oh, it's just hilarious. Give it some volume.
What mixer is it on?
Oh, you don't know?
I don't.
Mate, it's got to go on the cassette in, on the guest input. Hi, folks, this is live radio there.
Cass, that'd be me for
you
Castro.
You see the one there where it says guest input?
Yep, we've got all gas. Right, yeah, gas. And I've got the red light up on that
you're
line.
All set?
Cast too. Yeah, who knows?
Let's see if it works.
And now the end is near. I'm sick to death of this old cell phone. Bad sound. The signal's weak, the software stinks, a made-in-hell phone. I've heard there's something new, a million times more rad than my phone. I too will join the cult, I want an iPhone. I have a few. It's got some flaws. We may just face it. No keys, no memory card. The battery's sealed. You can't replace it. But God, this thing is sweet. A multi-touch iPod Wi-Fi phone. You had me from hello. I want an iPhone. I want to touch its precious screen. I want my friends to look and drool. I want to say, look, now I'm cool. I stood in line, and I'll get mine.
I'll get an iPhone.
Oh, what is a man? What has he got? If not iPhone, it's all the things a phone should be. So what if it's AT&T? I took a stand, paid half a grand. I got an iPhone.
Wow, just isn't that just horrible? That's one of those musicals that you just kind of, you know, what can you say? Now, the next little bit we've got is the current one that just came out about 5 days ago, 4 days ago.
Speaking of horrible, what happened? I don't know the exact story of what happened on Friday, other than it was
Apple a meltdown.
Stores and AT&T stores could not activate
the
phone.
Apple servers totally melted down because it was a worldwide release, unfortunately, for those who got caught in the fray. Uh-huh. And the servers weren't prepared for it, so they melted down, and it took some people 6-7 hours to get their phone set up. Some people, you were supposed to do it in the store, and quite a few people were just told to go home, do it on iTunes. We can't do it here. We don't know what to tell you.
I also heard it nailed those people that tried to download the software version 2 for the older iPhones, and they got nailed because then it wouldn't activate.
Yeah, they couldn't even use their phone until this thing got fixed. So Apple definitely was mistaken in their level of things. It was kind of a disappointment for some, but, you know, come on, it's their first day. That's a good sign that they could sell that many that would bring their servers down, but it also shows the weakness in server technology in general. So, you know, The initial reports are, it's cool, I've got it, it feels better in my hand, the sound is better, 3G works when you've got 3G, which most people don't, and, you know, the GPS is cute, but rather than, we could talk about it, but let me play this other one. This is just, David released this just last week on Thursday or Friday.
This is about the 3G.
This is the 3G, and it's, he's interviewing some folks who were camped out in front of the Manhattan, New York store for a week, and seriously, there really were a ton of people, some of them just doing it to kind of get in the Guinness Book of World Records. They've been there for over a week. This guy he interviewed has been there for, I think, almost a year waiting for this 3G.
Since
so
the
let's,
previous one.
Let's take a listen and see.
All right.
Hello, I'm David Pogue. Now, longtime viewers may remember that 1 year ago, to commemorate the release of the original iPhone, I actually went to the Apple Store in New York and made a music video.
I took a stand, paid half a grand. I got an iPhone!
So in recent weeks, a number of you have been emailing me to ask, how are you going to commemorate the release of the new iPhone, the iPhone 3G? Will you be going to the Apple Store to sing again? Please don't. Not to worry. This year I went to the Apple Store for another reason entirely.
Well, the excitement is palpable here at the Apple flagship store on Fifth Avenue, where the new iPhone 3G goes on sale almost a year after the first one went on sale. And once again, people have actually formed a line here days in advance so they can be the first to get their hands on the new machine. Excuse me, sir. It looks like you basically camped out here to be the first in line.
Yeah, Apple rocks, man. Whoa, what?
Okay, fine. So how long have you actually been sitting out here?
June 30th.
June 30th. So you've actually found it worth it to sit here in the rain and the heat for over a week?
No, son. June 30th, 2007. We got here the day after the first iPhone was released.
You've been here for more than a year?
Early bird gets a worm, yo.
Okay, so what is so worth it to wait a year for the second generation iPhone?
Dude, you heard the rumors, right? This new iPhone is gonna be wicked! Ooh, you wanna see my tattoo? I got it.
You know what? That's okay. Actually, there is some good news. The new iPhone has a standard headphone jack, the call quality is much better, and it actually feels much nicer in your hand.
Oh my god, you've touched one? Can I touch you? It's been so long.
No. Let's simmer down, fanboy. Furthermore, the price has been dropped to only $200.
Ha ha ha! Yeah! Steve Jobs for president! Woo! Ah!
But there's a catch, and that is that the service price from AT&T has gone up. It's now $70 a month, and no text messages included. So by the end of your 2-year contract, you've actually paid more than you would have before.
Oh, well, yeah, but I hear this one's got 3G.
It does have 3G, which means much faster internet speeds. The new iPhone delivers web pages 2 or 3 times faster than the old one. But, and this is a big but, that's true only when you're in one of AT&T's 3G network areas, and there aren't many of those. As you can see on this map, the blue dots are the 3G coverage areas. It's basically the big cities.
Oh, well, Yeah, but I mean, it's going to have GPS, right?
It does have GPS.
I knew it! Apple rules!
However, it's not what you think of as GPS, like the car ones, where it says, turn right on Elm Street. Basically, it shows you a moving dot that moves along the street while you're driving or walking around.
Well, is there a removable battery now?
No.
Well, did they add copy-paste?
No.
Is there voice dialing?
No.
Picture messaging?
No.
Video recording?
Sorry, no.
What the heck am I doing here? Waste a year of my life? I could have been in grad school. My dad's gonna kill me.
Oh, hold on. No, wait a minute. Now, I have to say one thing. It is true that they did not add that much hardware-wise to the new iPhone, but this is not a reason to give up on the excitement. It's the opening of the iPhone App Store. For the first time, it's a catalog of thousands of free or cheap add-on programs that you can download and install directly to the iPhone. There'll be all these amazing programs that turn the iPhone into a chat program, an eBay auction tracker, medical database, friend locator, a musical instrument, and on and on. The games are especially cool, like this driving game where you use the iPhone itself like a steering wheel. And you know what the best part is? All of this also works on the 6 million existing old iPhones, which is a very generous gesture on Apple's part, I think. What are you doing?
That's awesome. That is so wicked. I gotta get me some of that.
But where are you going?
To be first online for that store.
No, wait. It's an online store. You can't wait. You don't need... Hey, you forgot your...
Yeah, that's how it is with that 3G. People waiting in line for over a year to get that thing. And was it worth it? Nah. Come on.
Really?
Nah.
Not with the extra added cost.
$199,
when day one when that came out, I said, I'm there. I'm going to get one. Paul said exactly the same
thing. We all did. All three of us did.
And then day two, we found out the requirements.
Deal. And even the unsubsidized version, when it does become available, which it will, they're just not saying when, that'll cost you like old iPhone prices. And frankly, folks, I want the iChat version. I want the one with the video in the front. I want the GPS that's fast enough to actually tell you what's going on and use it like a Garmin instead of having to go buy a Garmin. And I can't sit in the car watching a dot.
That's a weird
on
one.
Screen.
What's up with that? You know? Is it? Well, here's the problem. GPS doesn't necessarily mean satellite acquired. You can get global positioning from the cell tower. So which is it? By satellite?
It's by satellite, but they don't have the chip in it that they're using. Doesn't have the ability to do that yet. But that doesn't mean that's Apple's built-in GPS. It doesn't mean some third-party application won't fix that. It's like the video recording. It doesn't come out of the box being able to, but the old iPhones, there was a little app you get for free that would allow you to turn it into a video recorder.
It could almost be a promotion for the developers.
Well, it is, in one sense, and it makes Apple doesn't have to do all the work for it, and they don't have to be responsible for, you know, how well it works or not.
Makes me laugh, because at one point, Microsoft actually tried producing their own antivirus and failed.
I love that.
You know, I mean, we got to get in 1978, I think the first cell phone communications in New York City were being experimented with.
Yeah.
So cell phone technology is about 30 years old as well.
Yeah.
It's worth talking a bit about what was going on in 1978. No cell phones. If you remember, there were still dial phones, and you had to, I think Glenn told me, you had to pay extra.
Yeah, if you wanted tone service, you had to pay extra to the phone company.
Yeah,
you couldn't own a phone back then, in theory.
No, you couldn't own a phone in theory, and still you really don't. You don't. But actually, you know what? You don't really own any of the software or anything.
It's licensed. Yeah.
It's all licensed, and they can take it back at any time. So all of this stuff you're looking at on your screen, on your laptop or your desktop, is really not yours.
I did see very
early... I don't mind borrowing it. It's fine. As long as it doesn't cost me a ton of money like this iPhone 3G does.
I did see in the Tech Museum in San Jose a very early answering machine from the 1950s. And what it did was, because you were not allowed to connect to AT&T's actual physical infrastructure, the lines and stuff, what it did was it had a pair of hooks that went under the handrest.
Oh, yeah.
And when the phone rang, it heard with a little microphone, picked the thing up and presented it to a microphone that was part of the answering machine. So it didn't actually touch the electronics at all.
Oh, that's just great.
Picked it up gingerly with a sort of robotic arm.
I want one of those.
That's
great. Oh, my God.
So 1978, where were we? I was making my first visit to the United States in 1978. And actually, in July, I flew over on a charter flight from the UK and went to a summer camp, Vermont. That was my first visit to the United States. what the exact date was, I don't know.
You know, 1978 was a busy year for me, and during near the end of that year, I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and that's where I got my first ATM card. Hmm. And they weren't even out here on the West Coast at that time. And you could actually then go to 7-Eleven and get cash from your bank. And as I remember it, I don't think you even paid a premium.
No, you didn't. But they certainly found a way to get over that.
Yeah.
We're going to just do this for a short time. It's just to take care of some brief charges.
Right.
Now it's become, you know, a big money-making business to charge you every time you access your automatic
teller. And you know how technology has followed that along. I still have the same PIN.
Yeah.
Thankfully, every bank I've been with.
What is it, Glenn?
I'm not with the same bank.
What is
but
it,
every
Glenn?
Bank I've been
I
with
still
since
have,
I've
you know,
I've
I have
made
the
it,
same
that
PIN
PIN.
As well. You and I both. I think we have the same PIN as
Oh, that. That's the 49191, isn't it?
Exactly.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, because you can remember it from the 1849.
Right.
Yeah, 491. Oh, I'm sorry.
So you remember how in the old days you used to be able to call the operator to get your information, or then for a while 411 you could just call and there was no charge. You just get a number. And then
and
you got a live person. Then you started, like with cell phones, they did that for a long time. You could just call and get it. Then they started charging you 25 cents. Then it was 50 cents. Then it was a buck. Now it's a couple of bucks or whatever it is. But I wanted to tell folks about a really cool service that, guess who's done this? Google. Google has created a really cool 1-800-466-4411, Goog 411.
466-4411.
1-800-GOOG-411, yeah.
And when you call it, which we could actually do that and show you how it works if you want, but it's real cool, folks. This won't cost you anything more than your regular minutes. Doesn't cost you extra. Here's the cool thing. You can tell them you want a text message, and you can actually have them send the text message with the information to your phone at no extra charge other than the text message itself.
This number keypad has got no letters on it.
That's all right. It's...
What did you say?
It doesn't have the letters.
It's 1-866.
It's 1-800.
Oh,
466-4411. Oh, you got to redial. You did the wrong number.
I hate when that happens. And what we're going to do is ask for KVMR.
Yeah, 1-800-466-4411.
It's 411.
No, 4411.
Calls recorded.
There you go.
For more info, press star. Goog 411. What city and state?
Nevada City.
California.
Nevada City, California. What business name or category?
KVMR.
KVMR.
Sorry.
Searching. Top listing. KVMR. On Spring Street. I'll connect you. You can also say more results, details, or go back.
More results.
Top two results. Number one. KVMR. On Spring Street. To select number one, you can press one or say number one. Number two. KVMR Community Radio 89.5 FM. No address listed.
Number
Top
two.
Top of the list. Number two. KVMR Community Radio 89.5 FM.
This is so cool.
No address listed. I'll connect you or say details or go back.
Details.
Details. You can also get the details by saying text message.
Text message.
KVM sending text message.
To who?
Hang on and I'll connect you.
All
or
right.
Say go back.
Go back.
Back to the list. Number one.
Number two.
KVMR. Number two. KVMR Community Radio 89.5 FM. No address listed. I'll connect you. Or say details or back. Hold on.
I'll see if there's anyone in the office. That should be good. Are we calling ourselves? Oh, well, that's great.
What number was that, I wonder?
La La Land.
Oh.
You know what? It was the top of Banner Mountain.
Did it get picked up?
Hello?
No, it didn't get picked up. It either went to, what's the old thing we called over here?
It went to the van.
For our remote.
Oh, it might have. That's great. Well, folks,
I think we could probably drop that call. It's alive.
You get the idea, though, folks.
Yeah.
You don't have to be paying money now to get information.
And it connects you. The only thing I didn't like, unless we said details, if it would have given us the phone number, it never gave us the phone number.
Right.
No,
right.
It didn't.
And I like a phone number.
Well, it'll give it to you, but even better, it'll send you a text message with all the info about the...
Oh, if you're using your cell
phone.
Yeah,
all you say is text message if you're calling from your cell phone.
Okay, and it'll cost you, though, to receive the text message if you're
5 cents or whatever it is.
So bear in mind, if you call this with your cell phone, it does use your minutes,
yes.
Although it's an 800 number.
But it doesn't charge
no premium.
You the buck or $2 that it costs you to normally use your
and
information.
Bear in mind, from home or from businesses, you're paying after the third, I believe, you get 3 411 calls per month.
Mm.
And it certainly has gotten me to the point, because I'm very penny yeah. conscious. I use the phone book all the time, or the internet now. So you can use this at home, and for businesses it would be great, because that can be a really ongoing, very expensive,
really useful
process, especially if you have a lot of people coming in a business like this.
Glenn, if you look up jot.com, just do a Google lookout for
J-O-T.com.
That was one of the most unusual phone interviews we've ever done.
That
was actually with a robot. Yeah.
It was with the
robot. Speech recognition is actually pretty good.
Now, check this out.
J-O-T-T or yeah. J-O-T?
I think it's the either one will work.
Well, you know, stuff's bound to break pretty soon, Mikhail, like the early days. If we're mucking around with this technology and we plugged in your iTouch and Glenn's doing his stuff with his computer, I'm kind of scared that, like in 1978, stuff's just going to melt down. What do you think?
It could possibly.
Yeah, so bear with us as we're... This is the show where we hack the equipment today.
We actually may just melt right down to nothing. We never know. Now, jot.com, if we've got the right spot, is another service that allows you to actually call from your phone. So you're out driving on your cell and you get a great idea. You can call this number, and I don't have the number off the top of my head. I'm going to bring it for the next show, but if we had it here, we could find it. And you can leave notes for yourself, and it will actually send them to you, and you can call them up. You can even have a jot.com team, so I could have you and Paul, you know, Glenn and Paul, as part of my team, and say, send this message. I'm going to be 2 hours late for the meeting or whatever, and just say, send it to the jot, my, you know, to my team, you know, Mikhail's jot team. So it's also a free service. So
now, when I went to the jot.com, that didn't work. It just said that it had something about Google Sites. Now we're at JOTT.com beta. It says, life is
That's
busy.
It.
Talk to Jot. Get
it.
Simple. So you sign up for a free account.
Yeah, you do is just create a free account.
Okay, and it's 866-JOTT123.
And then once you have that, well, we have to sign up for it and do it. So we could do that the next
sure,
next
I'm gung-ho I am for this stuff.
Oh, I think it's great. I mean, just that the Goog info thing is really, to me, extremely useful. It really, in these days of having to pay for everything, it's useful. It's also handy with your hands-free. Remember, you need... I've seen people lately in the last few days holding a cell phone up to their head, and believe me, you will get stopped, and you will get reported, and you will get a fine.
It's as of July 1st, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. As of July 1st. Actually, the law, I think, went into effect in January, but you had a grace period until July 1st.
I saw a very funny video that said, you know, why would anyone think that hands-free is going to make drivers safer? And somebody sent me a very funny video about a fellow using his Bluetooth, so he's not touching his phone, but he's playing the playing his flute and eating toast and doing karate with his passenger in the car.
And for people just to figure the Bluetooth out, it's like, where is it? What do I push? Oh no, did I push the right button? Did I push the wrong button?
Then again, the ones you and I use, the BT500 from Jabra, is one of the simplest, easiest to use.
Well, and I have the Jabra visor mount for the car.
Oh, you have that.
And that is very simple too. It has three buttons. It has the on off, start, stop, answered, hang up button, which is all in one, and volumes up and down. But it's very simple and it's
cool.
Small. The battery, the first time I charged it, I was taking Paul to the airport. We charged it up on that trip, and for like 5 or 6 weeks I didn't charge it again. But any time I was in the car I had it on.
That's
so
great.
Its battery life was exceptional.
Hey, on another little tech note, buy.com has got a special right now on a 1 terabyte drive for $129.95. It's guaranteed, warranted, factory warranty for 1 year. Now, it is a reconditioned drive, but it's warranted from the factory for 1 year. These drives, I've got a couple of them, these Phantom drives, and they work just great. So if you go to buy.com and search for the Phantom, F-A-N-T-O-M, 1 terabyte, they had it on special today for $130.
You know where the special
free
came
shipping.
From? One of the manufacturers. One of the manufacturers has just released data that they're now producing a 1.5 terabyte drive.
Well, that's why I'm not buying it today myself, because I'm waiting for more. Do we have some callers waiting in there in the queue?
We've got one. Have a go at that.
Let's try to see what they've got.
We're cranked up on here. Da, 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 da. That's the one there. Good afternoon, call you live on the Zentech Show.
No flea market today?
Flea market's on Thursdays from 1 to 2 p.m.
Thursdays only?
Only on Thursdays.
Only on Thursdays.
Okay, great, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye-bye.
Yes, it's an old-time listener of KVMR, obviously. That's good. But thank you for calling in. The flea market will be on this Thursday.
I'll be doing it this Thursday.
And you know, Paul will be doing it this Thursday.
And Glenn and Mikhail, thank you so much for the past two shows when I was over in the old country and elsewhere.
We caught you pretty good on the second one. The first one was a little out there.
Yeah, a little technical hitch. I mean, it happens, you know. It's not because we're a community station, not because we don't know what we're doing. It's there's a lot of
there's that too.
But there's a lot of really neat stuff going on. I got to say, when I was over in the UK, I took my phone number with me.
It worked great.
not a revolutionary thing in itself. Voice over IP has been around for a while. Broad Voice Lingo, Vonage, all these good guys. The thing that's new in our area is that you can pry away the phone number from the cold, dead hands of the monopoly ATT.
That's pretty cool.
So the number I've had on a landline for 10 years for my business, I've now pried away and stuck onto a company called Broad Voice. You take a call router with you, which is a little hardware that plugs into your DSL internet, like an internet appliance. And you get the whole feature set. I pay $15 a month, and you get the whole feature set of call waiting, call forwarding, voicemail, mm-hmm. selective forwarding, selective ringing, you know, the whole damn thing. And that would cost you with a landline and not be movable $40-$50. It cost me $15, and you know what I'm like. Sing it.
Let's see if I...
Is that you playing the guitar on your iTouch? Yes. It is, isn't it? Oh, don't fret, Mikhail.
I'm trying. Not very good. I'm a pretty good guitar player without the text.
What happens when you shake it? Does it go, wow, wow, wow?
That one doesn't do anything when you shake it.
Have you ever known anyone to flex the neck of the guitar to the point it broke?
Yes, Jimmy and I both have.
You say don't fret.
That's why you say don't fret.
I just signed up with Jot.com. Let's see if we can listen to their voice message that they sent.
Cool.
Where's my speaker?
All right, just play back on that. We can actually try calling them as well. It's a very experimental show today. It kind of sums it up, doesn't it?
It's very like the old days.
Now, the volume's a bit low. The early shows were a lot of Grateful Dead and folk music and not so much talk stuff, right?
There wasn't that much Grateful Dead in the very early shows. Mm. That kind of came later. Mm. And a fun time it was by all.
Not a lot of talk radio, was there?
When did the Grateful Dead stop playing?
Grateful Dead stopped playing when Jerry died.
And when was that?
Oh, what was that? 97? Something like
that.
So
there may not have been a whole lot of Grateful Dead material even at that point in 78.
Oh, there was. Believe me, my friend. Believe me, there is more material than you could ever know. We do have a caller. Let's get them in here and see.
Live on the air on Zentech. You are a caller. Go ahead. You really are.
There you go. Now you got him, Paul. Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Zentech. Hi.
Hi, I just wanted to tell you guys, thank you so much for your show. I look forward to it every other week. It's awesome.
Oh, cool.
You're very, very welcome. We enjoy doing it. I hope you can tell that.
Oh, yes. And I want to thank you also. You have single-handedly converted me from PC to Mac.
No.
Not just us alone, surely.
We're finding out that we're doing that more and more. And people will look at me and say, well, you're a PC user. Why are you telling people to use a Mac? Because Mac is better. And if you're not hung up on PC and you're willing to learn something new or willing to learn something brand new computer-wise, go to a Mac.
But even more so, you still get your PC and yes. you get a Mac. That's right, folks. Two for the price of one. But wait, there's more. You can use your Mac and PC at the same time. You don't even have to reboot into one or the other. It's just like that. It's so easy. Steve Jobs, my God, what a guy.
Yeah,
whatever.
Vista.
Vista's cool.
Yeah, I've got to say, in all fairness, caller, I've got to say, Service Pack 1's come out, and I would say it's actually usable and not worse than XP now, but that's not saying a lot.
Well... Really?
It's not worse than XP is how I would state it right now, at the moment.
XP works for me just fine. I get to use it for what I need it for.
The Vista's about to come up to that level, but there's a series of hacks that take me about an hour to get Vista to behave the way XP has for 4 years.
I'm sorry, that's just not kosher.
And if Paul has found all of this out, imagine how hard it would be for anyone else other than Paul to figure any of this out. Because I still have to call him for help. Is there anything that we can help you with specifically today, or were you calling with kudos?
No, just kudos. I've been listening to you for a long time now, and I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate it.
Oh, cool.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, and a reminder, if anybody does want to call in locally, we're on 265-9555. Toll-free from other parts of Northern California, 1-800-355-5867. That's 355-KVMR.
And it is not Babbel Incorporated. It is actually Zentech. We actually talk about computer-related and tech-related issues. They don't have to just be around the world of computers. Can be around cell phones. Can be around anything tech-related.
You know...
You going to count on Jot? Can we call it? I thought you were going to do... What's it called? What's it called, Mikhail, when you go... like this. A splash or whatever it's called.
Let's go to this Jot message and see if we can listen to this. Hold on a second, see if we can get this.
Sounds like dead air, the thing we really try to avoid. Yeah,
it is.
Is it for... Whoa, pardon?
No, that was me.
No more beans for
I'm
you, mate.
I'm tired of this dead air. We're going to have too much dead air.
Yeah.
Great segue.
Is there something wrong here?
There could be.
Oh, it's probably something
wrong
with me.
Don't push that, Glenn, okay? Take it off.
Wait a minute.
What do I do? What?
Bring him up. Oh, we are now, Jimma.
What?
Oh.
We thought it'd be kind of fun, folks. That's the way it was 30 years ago, right around this time of the day.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, KVMR, and thank you, Jimma.
Yeah.
And you know, if I'd have known that we'd be talking about it 30 years later, I wish I'd have had more time to prepare some kind of profound statement to bring the station on the air.
Well, yes. originally, as we were saying the other day, Lee Amundson, you thought Lee was going to talk. I mean, we all thought Lee was going to talk.
It seemed such a natural. He'd spent years with this dream of manifesting a radio station, and finally it's coming to fruition. So it does seem like a natural that he would talk, and I was standing right beside him and expecting him to, and he put the microphone in my hand.
You guys were on top of Banner Mountain doing this thing, right?
We were on top of Banner Mountain, that little old line shack up there.
Can you remember what the temperature was that day, Jimma?
It was moderate. You know, I don't remember it being really hot. It was like short sleeve time, you know.
Okay.
And how many watts of power was it going out there? Not 1,000.
It was 10 watts. There used to be a thing, I don't think the FCC has it anymore, called a Class D station, which was 10 watts or 20 watts of radiated power.
So did you have an FCC license, Jimma?
We got them.
Yeah, actually.
We got them right after we went on the air.
Yeah, I think.
You didn't work first.
Maybe we waited a few days.
Yeah, it was. I think we got them just after that during the following month.
That was way cool. Right. We got to talk about the pregnancy as well. I mean, this just didn't just happen. What was the run-up to all this, Jimma?
Oh.
Well, you know, I found out about that. Lee had been, he lived in Sacramento, and he'd worked in some capacities at a few commercial radio stations, and I'm not sure exactly where his vision came from to do a station in Nevada City. He owned some land and had thoughts about sometimes building a house and living there in Grass Valley out off of Brittany Springs Road by Deer Creek. And somewhere a vision came of doing a community radio station, and he talked to people and thought about it. Still living in Sacramento, and somehow, I'm not sure how it happened that he ran across David Osborne and Charles Woods, who were the founders of the American Victoria Museum, and they said, oh, well, okay, let's do a radio station. You know, they were open to it. They were very, very interesting and innovative and creative people, and they had contacts. They had a contact with the people that had the little shack up on Banner Mountain, mm-hmm. So it made that possible to happen.
Did the transmitter mast need to be, the wooden pole need to be built for this, or was there something already there, or how did that all work?
My recollection is that had to be built. There wasn't that. The shack was there, but there really wasn't any other facilities.
That's pretty much it. And then years later, we finally got the tower up, which changed everything dramatically.
Yeah, the pieces of the pole are still up there, by the way, and it was discovered, I think, when it was taken down, that it was rotten through the core, and it could have fallen down.
Well, a lot of things were like that.
Yeah. The lumber in that shack was probably 100 years old.
Oh, at least.
Cut lumber.
At least.
It was a home to pack rats. One of the first major problems we had, actually, was pack rats chewing through wires and speakers and so forth. And one of the first expenses we had was buying cat food for the cat that controlled the the pack rat.
It worked quite well, though.
It did work quite well.
Actually, so many different stories around that time. You know, if anybody's interested in checking out what Lee Amundson's up to this day, you can go to kqmc.com. That's the radio station over in Nevada that Lee's still doing radio. How to talk with him. Been trying to get him to come on the air and chat with us, but Lee's a funny character, as Jim and I both know, very much so. Hey, by the way, joining us in the studio is another old friend of the family, Alan Stoller, our resident scientific guy, but he does a lot more than just that.
Hey, Alan, how are you?
Hello, and hello, Jimma. Good to hear you.
Hi, Alan. It's good to hear your voice.
Jimma was, you know, we have a whole line, a lineage here at KVMR. Jimma was the man who trained me, and then I trained Len Gorski, and it just goes on and on. But
hierarchy.
It's like a Masonic tradition.
But back then, training was a little bit different. I remember calling Jimma up. He was on the air, and I said, hey, that sounds good. How do I get to be a DJ? Jimma said, come on down. So, and this is by the time, it was about a year after the station had started up, so that was down at the Foundry. And I went down to the Foundry, and Jimma was on the air, and I looked over his shoulder for about 2 or 3 hours. And then he said, come on back tomorrow. And tomorrow I came back, and I sat down. Jimma looked over my shoulder for about 2 or 3 hours and said, well, you're a DJ.
That's pretty much how it worked, folks. It's a little different with our training program these days.
So you had to have a licensed broadcaster. So when did the first FCC broadcaster licenses show up?
Here? Yeah. Like I said, in the first couple of months, we started getting our licenses. Mine's still on file here somewhere, so you could look at that, and that'll tell you when they first
was
got
it the
here.
Broadcast that was licensed or the engineer that was licensed?
No, the broadcasters.
The broadcasters were licensed. We were and we were allowed to apply for a fee waiver when we got the license, and they would actually send something out. They'd no longer do that anymore. Is that mine making noise?
I think
noise?
Your computer's talking to you.
Oh, no. You know, it's that Magic Jack thing.
There you go.
Okay.
You know, there was advantages in the beginning. Besides Lee, really no one else had any, to my recollection, had any experience with radio, which in a way was, you know, can work to your advantage. You're inventing it from scratch and without preconceived notions.
Yep.
So that, in a sense, that's how it evolved.
How's that?
We have to take
it's still what it was, Gemma. There's like stuff going on left, right, and center. There's no smoke or flames. You ever have a smoke or a flames incident?
Smoke or flames.
I don't remember anything.
Well, I don't remember smoke or
flames.
No,
smoke or flames. We had lots of ice and snow.
Yeah, I remember one time in Nevada, we got 4 feet of snow overnight in February in Nevada City, and it shut. Power was out.
That was pretty fun.
We had to turn the generator on for 3 or 4 days.
I can remember being up there and being stuck because no other broadcasters could get up the hill. So I did a morning classical show, did a midday, I don't know if it was rock show, and then a jazz show in the afternoon, and then some sort of eclectic sweet sort of show in the evening. And finally, it was kind of like I'm getting hungry, and we didn't have porta potties either. So being a male broadcaster, it worked out pretty well.
Makes it a little easier.
Yeah, there were certain logistical problems up there, and you were really isolated. And you didn't expect to see anyone, but more frequently than you would think.
You did.
There'd be a knock on the door,
exactly.
And there'd be, you know, two characters standing outside the door saying, "Hey, we heard you're doing radio."
Exactly.
Was there a phone line up there? I mean, how did listeners get
phones?
It's still up there, I think.
No, we had phones, because I can remember, I've told this story many times in the broadcaster training classes, of letting a record skip until somebody called.
So
I just let the record finish one night, and it was about 20 minutes, 22 minutes, and finally a local guy, Bob Lichter, gets out. He comes to the phone, rings me, goes, "Hey, Mick, I think the record's over. I've been laying in the bathtub for the last 20 minutes, and I think this one's over. You ought to change it."
we still do that.
Yeah, but by design.
Right. That's because our audience likes that.
It was hot up there sometimes, you open the windows, and at the time we didn't have screens.
Oh, my God.
And I actually had the experience of large beetle bugs flying in and knocking the
record.
The record. Knocking the arm off of the record.
Yeah, you remember Madula? She was an early broadcaster friend of Lee. She was telling me a story a while back about she was sitting there playing a record and everything was great, and then suddenly this big giant grasshopper just hopped in right onto the record and started going around and she didn't know what to do, and she was like, "Oh my God," and then it just jumped back out the window. So this was a pretty common sort of thing. Once we got the screens on, you know, the bug bites went down and the ointment, you know, stopped coming out all the time. We actually enlarged the place for a while, and it was no longer a shack. It was a palatial little place with couches and easy chairs until we found out that was illegal.
Well, what we found out was the owners came back.
Right.
The property came back. And then they were expecting this little shack. They really didn't know we were going to broadcast.
It's not the Sorcerer's Apprentice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden there was, you know, all this thing. So they actually got quite upset.
Yeah, they were pretty upset.
Gemma, do you remember where the gear came from? I mean, this is 10 watts of stuff.
Well, a lot of stuff was, you know, for a long time, the tuner that we used so that we could listen to things was one that I donated. There was a lot of personal stuff. Lee had some stuff. He recruited stuff from people he knew in Sacramento. People donated things. There was a lot of private home stereo equipment.
A lot of home stereo gear.
That was part of the sound system at first, because there was no money.
Yeah, we had a little TAC mixer that was pretty sophisticated for the time, but it was like, you know, several years before generation of home recording stuff, and we just, whatever we could get, turntables as they became available, cassette players. There were no CD players, of course, at that point.
Right.
So it was just cassette players. I think we even had an 8-track for a short time. And
yeah,
we
for
did
not very long.
Not very long. We did have a cart machine, which is sort of the beginning of the end for Lee, because when the carts came in, then Lee kind of, I think, at one point really wanted to turn the station more into a what he wanted, which was more of a cart-based sort of thing, and a lot of us didn't. And it got
Though he was absolutely essential as the founding father of the station, his vision was really fairly different from most of the people that got involved. He didn't want any rock and roll on the station.
Yeah, he chides me about that, Jim. When I talk to him, he goes, "Oh, Mikhail, yeah, great to hear from you. Yeah, you know, your timing and some of that music you chose, I don't know. I never..." I mean, I liked it, but I don't know. We never knew we wanted that on the air. I had to wait till the first Sunday to go on the air in August because Jim Bauerline at the time was taking care of Sunday. Sunday was weird day. The rest of the days, we had regular music. Folks like Bobby Angel, who, by the way, folks, if you want to hear what Bobby's up to, go to myspace.com/Bobby and the Angels, and you'll hear Bobby's rockabilly band, which I'm planning to bring up to the KVMR Silver Stage next year for the fair. But Bobby's still at it, and he was one of, I mean, Bobby was what, the second voice, really, that kind
Bobby
of...
Bobby was the workhorse.
He was the total workhorse.
You know, he was doing more shows than anybody else.
Midnight shows, day shows, wherever, and always the Bobby Angel show.
Now, this might sound like a silly question, but at this point in its history, there was no formalized arrangement. It's guys essentially showing up, looking over each other's shoulders and putting down some vinyl.
There was a very formal arrangement. It was all scheduled and very clear who was going to do what. It's okay. Just you didn't know when.
Good point.
There was a fair amount of improvisation, but even from the pretty much the beginning, we wanted to have a schedule so that we could advertise it.
Yeah, exactly.
So we could let people know what was what. It was frustrating at the beginning. 10 watts, even though our transmitter and antenna were way up high, and the signal being FM can float out quite a, you know, until it hits a landmass, basically.
Yeah.
The way Nevada County is with all the mountains and valleys and so forth. I mean, it was quite often very frustrating. Your next-door neighbor couldn't hear the station. You know, you'd go around and try to talk to people, and they'd try to find it. And
yeah, people in Sacramento or Chico or sometimes Santa Cruz or wherever would be picking up the station, but somebody in downtown Nevada City couldn't.
Right. There's less FM channels. Did anyone ever actually get in the car and drive around and see where it came in or not?
I kept my radio on all the time when I was driving around to see, and it was very, very sporadic.
Yeah.
The other thing, an interesting thing that happened when we finally did increase power and move down to the American Victorian Museum is that everybody had been so used to doing anonymous radio, yeah. And all of a sudden we were in a studio with a window on the world
where people could look
in and see us, and it actually caused quite a stir in controversy. A lot of people really wanted to be anonymous.
Yeah, they didn't like it at all.
Well, what happened was that we finally came to agreement that we would put a curtain on it, and people could either make a decision to open the curtain
or close the curtain. That was it.
The curtains are here to this day.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, some broadcasters were a little shyer. There were those of us who loved exhibitionism, and it was just fine.
That's what they mean by having a face for radio like we have.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we've got a caller who's called in, waiting in the queue, I think, here, too. So let's see if they have anything relevant to the story here.
Good afternoon. Call you live on the Zentech Reminiscence Show.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. This is Ronalee Joseph.
Oh, hey, Ronalee, another one of our early great broadcasters.
Hi, Ronalee. Well, it was Bobby who asked me to come on to the air.
Oh, good.
Oh, cool.
And he said, hey, you know a lot about Broadway. Why don't you come do a show? So 15 years later, I was doing a show.
It's really true.
That was a great show.
It was a great show. I missed that show, Rana.
I'm going to come do it again, I'm hoping.
I'm away from being recertified.
I had to go through the bells and bells. Hey, listen, I just tuned in and... I heard MySpace/Bobby and the Angels.
Right, and if it doesn't come up that, just do a search under when you're in the MySpace area for Bobby and the Angels.
Okay, Bobby and the Angels. Okay,
yeah.
Got it. I'd like to contact him and say hello.
Yeah, yeah, he's doing great, by the way. We just talked. He couldn't make it up for the party this weekend, but he sent his regards to everybody, and we're definitely planning to get him up next year for our Silver Stage out at the Nevada County Fair.
That'll be fabulous, and your event for the weekend went well, even though you guys were all inside.
Yeah, it actually turned out to be quite a nice party. A couple thousand people came through, and it was just, you couldn't have asked for anything better considering the circumstances.
It was great to see some really young pictures of you.
Not like now.
No, actually, you really haven't changed at all.
I know, that's what I've been...
You are actually still so very handsome.
Well, thank you so much. Something about my lip has changed, thankfully.
Well, I don't know what it was. Maybe you've got just more of it.
Hairy caterpillar, that's what it was.
Yeah, it was the hairy caterpillar.
But it was really funny, and it was really a wonderful thing, and I'm really happy for all of us who have been able to enjoy the earlier part of the radio station.
Mm.
Right now, like, we're in a rhythm. But then we were out of rhythm, and it felt so good anyway. So.
Oh, yeah. No, it was great.
It was wonderful. But anyway, thanks for the time, and I'll get in touch with him. And
we'll look to get you on.
Lots of healthy and happy and another 30 years on the air.
Thanks. Same to you,
Ron. Can we stand it?
Yeah, I'm sure we can.
Okay. Hey, bye. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ronnelly. And I just want to acknowledge, Alan, you're the one who first put me on the air here at KBMR late 1994.
It was a Sunday evening on Soundings. 6 degrees of separation here.
And then Jimma is the one who first had me come in and substitute for him. And Jimma, it was, I can't remember the title of the show, but you talked about movies, what was happening at the various theaters around town and stuff. Oh, yeah. Do you remember that, Jimma?
There was a show called Art Talk.
It was great. It was wonderful.
So my first full hour of programming, Dan Birch and I came in and on several occasions substituted for you, Jimma. So thank you.
Thank you.
We still have everything, don't we?
Yeah.
Most of
anyway,
it.
Anyway, good luck, you guys. We'll be tuning in.
Thanks, Ron.
Okay. Bye-bye.
No, it's nice to hear from Rana.
And we may have another caller on the air live on the KVMR Reminiscence Show for Zentech.
We do.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is John. We bought a piece of property up here on Banner Mountain in 1975, and built on it in 76, and moved onto it in 77. Summer of 78, you guys came on the air and asked for donations. And my son, who was 14 at the time, hiked the half a mile from our house through the woods. I mean, it was really heavy woods at the time.
Oh,
to that little place up on top of the mountain, and donated a couple of record albums.
Wow.
And we have been members and listeners for 30 years, and it's
wonderful.
Just amazing. You guys are awesome.
John, thanks
I don't know
so
what
much.
We do without you.
That's so cool.
How was your reception up there? It sounds silly.
It was excellent. No, good. Always has been.
Okay.
Yeah, it's almost line of sight from here.
Well, thank you so much for calling in and for being a part of community radio.
Oh, because thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
That wasn't an uncommon occurrence. I mean,
yeah, it's
when
true.
People tuned into the station right from the very beginning, they realized that it was something special. And a whole lot of people went out of their way to do something for the station, donations, volunteers. It was like that from the very beginning, and even more so now, I'm sure.
We got another caller here, actually.
You know, talking about a face for radio reminds me of Bob Ione, who literally could have done a TV show.
We're going to be replaying some of Bob's
excellent.
Stuff.
He read science fiction.
Yeah, Rana gave me a whole set of tapes, and I'm going to be putting those on the CD, so we've got them.
Good.
So we'll be putting those out as well.
It was a unique and special voice.
Oh, yeah, and part of what made his voice so good was that he acted it out. You could watch him through the window. And
it was phenomenal.
Yeah, watching an actor.
Yeah, Bob was a character. He always. Yeah, we could go into it. We'll do that when we do this through the reminiscence story.
Okay, good afternoon, Corley. You're live on Zentech and KVMR reminiscing somewhat.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I'm just a wimp because I've only been around for 10 years, but I don't know what I'd do without you either. So I just wanted to pass on some kudos. It's been really fun to listen to.
A 10-year wimp. I love that.
Yeah. Well, I was a KFAT guy until I decided I couldn't afford to live in Santa Cruz anymore.
Ah, okay. Well, you're not a wimp then. You're just
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys have changed the way I listen to music. Oh, my goodness. I played classical violin when I grew up, and all of a sudden it was like, listen to all this cool stuff.
Well, and on Saturday afternoons here at KVMR, look where KFAT got reborn.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Cool.
You guys have a great day.
Hey, thanks so much.
That was one of the things that the station did for me from the very beginning, was incredibly widened all of my musical horizons. I mean, all of a sudden I had access to not just a lot of records, but to all of these people who had these amazing record collections. I remember Phil Gavant driving up every time from Sacramento doing his blues shows and bringing like 3,000 records, you know. I mean, just totally out of hand. He could only play a handful of them.
Mm, yeah.
But,
you know, Jim, I have to say, and I'm not just saying this because it's you, but out of all the broadcasters who's been on over the years, there's one broadcaster whose show I would always listen to, no matter what, and that was yours. Your taste in music, your taste in delivery, the way you did this, it was just so appropriate that you ended up being the first voice, because you were an inspiration to all of us and everybody that's followed since. I know for me, I never got tired of hearing the Eclectic Suite. George Olson has done a wonderful job to continue that. You know, I couldn't think of anybody better really than you, but I just got to offer you the kudos for really lighting up the way early on. You just really opened a big doorway for so many of us. And I know it wasn't planned. It wasn't like you were planning to be a DJ, as it were, but you sure did a great job, and sure hope one of these days we can get you back to do a show or two here.
That would be fun. I wish I could have been there for the 30th. I had another event scheduled.
Yeah.
I appreciate your input. It was, you know, it's like kind of how my life has gone in most of the things that have happened to me. It's just all of a sudden I'm walking along innocently, and either a door opens or a hole opens under me, and I fall into this, you know, it's like Alice down the hole.
And now you're guilty. You were innocent, now you're guilty.
Well, Jim, take a moment now to pencil us in your Palm Pilot for the 40th.
I will.
We'll get you on before that.
I figured I was never the same since I started listening to KVMR, but then I was never the same before anyway.
I was going to say that, Paul.
I listen to community radio wherever I travel to, you know, in the Northwest, along the coast, in the Southwest, and I have yet to find a radio station that even comes close to doing the job with music that KVMR does.
I couldn't agree more. I've been all over the world and feel the same.
Yeah, there's no comparison. I don't know what makes it so special, what the special circumstances are that lead to that, but it's beyond a doubt it's true.
Well, whatever it is, it's still going on.
They
which
say
is
it's a vortex in here in Nevada County. Maybe some people say it's the gold. Some people say it's the other minerals that are under the earth. I don't know, but my family goes back to 1849, and they've all said the same thing in their way.
Uh-huh.
They don't say it in the New Age-ish terms that some of us use or whatever, but really, it's always been a pretty special, unique place, and maybe it does have something to do with just its geographical location. Who
it's
knows?
Still eclectic, because our friend here, Alan Stoll, a science correspondent for the station, is going to go do a show about animal sentiments. Is that right?
The emotional lives of animals tomorrow, along with half it's going to be geology. Next Monday, Steve Baker and I are going to be talking about the search for ET.
Oh, yeah. And Haynes is doing a show on UFOs as well with, what's his name? I forget his name right now, but really expert on UFOs and that sort of thing. So what a great day coming up. That's KVMR for you, synchronicity all
stay with
through.
Us, Gemma. We need to do the needfuls for the station, which is to stay 30 years on. We are still KVMR FM, Nevada City. This is the Zentech Radio Show and has been for the last hour. We've got Gemma Abbott, on the phone, one of the founders of the radio station, it'd be fair to say.
Well, we're all founding broadcasters.
We're all founding broadcasters and brothers in kind, and we would like to thank, in part, for underwriting the last hour of programming. Ohmsoft Technologies, a local internet service provider focused on customer privacy. Ohmsoft donates a portion of proceeds to the Davis Community Network, providing internet and web resources to nonprofit community groups throughout Yolo County. Information is at website DCN.org. Never used to have websites, did we?
Well, no, there was definitely a day before web.
And next up is going to be Jimmy Accardi's Rock and Roll Party, carrying on the great musical tradition of the radio station. We really got talk radio going here about 10 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
It? With
Paul Emery kind of championed that,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
It was sporadic at best before that. You know, there were a few shows here and there.
Well, let's go back. Jim and I remember this. There was a guy named Ron Mann, and Ron started one of the first interview shows. I've actually got some cassettes of Ron. I have an interview he did with me way, way back, and that was in the early 80s. So we've had it since almost.
Also Ron Jones.
And Ron Jones, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Ron Jones, that's
World
who it was.
View.
Yeah, Worldviews, that's what I was thinking of, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. So if you look at one of our early photos of KVMR, you'll see, I'm not in many of the early ones because I was sort of a punk back then and didn't like to get photographed much, but Ron's in there along with Jimma and Sada Sheev, and I mean, we used to, come on, where could you tune in and hear a guy doing ohms for a half an hour?
Sada Sheev's living on the coast here now.
He's living out on the coast, yeah.
And there is a photo gallery, by the way, Jim. I don't know if you've seen it, gallery.kvmr.org, and there's pictures of McHale and his mysterious upper lip work.
Yeah.
And some fairly old stuff. I'm not sure what the oldest pictures are, from the 80s, from the listeners.
Well, those are that, and there's a picture, several pictures of Jimma. There's a picture of the original shack. And we had some of those during the interview we did on KXJZ, which we'll be replaying here as well, which Jimma and Arthur Cohen, our first general manager, were a part of, along with Dave Levin.
I've enjoyed that. Yeah, gallery.kvmr.org. Yeah. Some neat stuff out there.
Jimma, we're going to let Jimmy Accardi